Hi everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gospel Exegesis podcast. And this is a podcast where we take a look at the literal sense of the text, and it's really important that we do this as Catholics who want to understand the Bible. The Church tells us that we have to start with the literal sense of the text, as in what was the author trying to convey to his original audience through the particular words that they used. We're continuing in the Gospel of John today, John chapter 8. Verses 51 to 59. Here's the reading for today's Mass. Jesus said to the Jews, "I tell you most solemnly, whoever keeps my word will never see death." The Jews said, "Now we know for certain that you are possessed. Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead, and yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never know the taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? The prophets are dead too. Who are you claiming to be?" Jesus answered, "If I were to seek my own glory, that would be no glory at all. My glory is conferred by the Father, by the one of whom you say, 'He is our God,' although you do not know him. But I know him, and if I were to say, 'I do not know him,' I should be a liar, as you are liars yourselves. But I do know him, and I faithfully keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to think that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews then said, "You are not 50 yet, and yet you have seen Abraham." Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, before Abraham ever was, I am." At this, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple. So that's the passage for us today from John chapter 8. It follows fairly closely from the podcast we had yesterday, which was up to verse 42. And in this section, we're continuing that same lengthy discussion that we looked at yesterday between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, and it's focusing on who is Jesus, what's his mission, what's his identity. Now, as a bit of background, a few verses prior to this, and this is what we looked at yesterday, Jesus said, "If you keep my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now we get to verse 51 today, and he says, "I tell you most solemnly," and remember, whenever we hear that, or other translations have this as, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," or "Verily, verily," or maybe even "Amen, amen." The different translations phrase it differently. But the basic idea is Jesus is about to say some profound truth, and that truth probably still has force today as well. So he says, "I tell you most solemnly, whoever keeps my word," so there's that phrase again, and remember, what does it mean to keep his word? It means to follow his commandments, the commandments that Jesus has laid down in his teaching. "Whoever keeps my word will never see death." Now, they think he's talking about physical death, but Jesus here is talking about spiritual death. So Jesus is teaching that a Christian, someone who follows Jesus' commandments, although they die physically eventually, they will get to have eternal life and they won't be destroyed in hell. So they won't ultimately die spiritually. They will live eternally. Now, they don't understand that, though, the Jewish leaders. So verse 52, they say, "Now we know for certain that you are possessed." A few verses earlier than this, they had suspected that he was possessed. And now they say, "Well, we know for certain you're possessed." Because he's just said something that to them, only someone who's mad or possessed would say, that you would never see death. They go on, "Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead, and yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never know the taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? The prophets are dead too." So the Jewish leaders are saying that even the greatest of God's prophets, and even Abraham himself, experienced death, and they are considered to be God's greatest. But here Jesus comes along and says, anyone who follows him won't experience death. And to them, that's just madness. Now, they do misunderstand the type of death he's talking about. He's not talking about physical death. But they're actually correct in their reasoning, in the basics of it, because Jesus is claiming to be greater than Abraham and the prophets. So they're right about that. So they finish by asking him, "Who are you claiming to be?" And this is a big theme of the discussions Jesus has with the Jewish leaders. What's his identity? Jesus has actually answered this question several times. He's already told them, "I'm the Son of God, I'm sent from the Father," but they just don't get it. So they ask him again, who are you claiming to be?" And this is Jesus' answer in verse 54. "If I was to seek my own glory, that would be no glory at all." So Jesus is saying, it's not so much who I am in myself that you should be concerned about, although that is important. What you should be concerned about is where I got my authority from. I'm not in this for myself. So they're probably thinking, who is Jesus' earthly identity? Like, who does he think he is in an earthly way? But Jesus is trying to draw their attention back to the fact that what's most important is where he comes from, who sent him, which is the Father. Jesus goes on, "My glory is conferred by the Father, by the one of whom you say he is our God." Now, that's some interesting Trinitarian theology. Jesus identifies that the God that the Jews worship is the Father. That's the one that they're familiar with, the Father. And it's the Father who bestows the glory on the Son. So all things, all of God's plan for the kingdom originates from the Father. And the Father bestows all the gifts on the Son. The Son doesn't do anything himself. It all comes from the Father. Verse 55, now Jesus really digs it into them. He says, "But you do not know him." So that's a fairly significant insult to say to the Jewish leaders, because they think that they do know him well and their job is to teach other people about him. Now let's stop and think about what Jesus has said here. Jesus has taught that it's possible to think you know the Father or to think you know God, but to be mistaken, you don't actually know God. And that should give all of us pause as well. Jesus goes on, "But I know him." So the Son knows the Father because he comes directly from the Father. And if I were to say I do not know him, I should be a liar. So Jesus here is basically saying, look guys, I have to be honest about my identity, even though you don't like it. That's pretty much what he's saying. If I said I don't know him, that would be a lie. So Jesus is just trying to be honest. He goes on though, "As you are liars yourselves." So he accuses the Jewish leaders of being liars, basically because they claim to know God, but they don't actually know God. They're lying. And also because a few verses earlier, he has said that their father is Satan, who is the father of lies, and they descend from him, according to Jesus. Jesus says, "But I do know him, and I faithfully keep his word." So again, any commandments Jesus as the Son hears from the Father, he follows them. "I faithfully keep his word." And that should be a model for all of us as well. Verse 56, Jesus reintroduces Abraham here. He says, "Your father Abraham," and the Jews had great reverence for Abraham. They saw him as the ultimate example of what it means to be a faithful Jew. And in fact, the Jewish leaders have already mentioned him a few times in this long extended discussion. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to think that he would see my day." So Jesus here is teaching that Abraham himself was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. He believed that a Messiah was coming and he longed to be alive when the Messiah comes. And in fact, Jesus is going further here. He's saying he longed to see my day. So Jesus is teaching that he is the Messiah himself and that Abraham would have believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what Jesus is saying here. Abraham longed to see the day of me, the day of Jesus. And Jesus' point here is since Abraham, the father of the Jews, would have longed to be there when Jesus, the Messiah, was walking the earth, then the Jewish leaders, if they really want to copy Abraham, they should believe Jesus is the Messiah too. But Jesus goes further. He says, "Abraham saw it and was glad." So Jesus here teaches that Abraham did see the day of the Messiah. When did Abraham see the day of the Messiah? Well, it's not entirely clear because in the Old Testament, there's no specific place where Abraham is given a vision of what the days of the Messiah will look like. So maybe he did have some sort of prophetic vision while on earth, or maybe after his death, he saw something about what the day of Jesus would look like. A lot of scholars think that probably when Abraham saw this was in Genesis chapter 15. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 16, Abraham does receive a prophecy from God, and God tells him basically the future of Israel up to the time of the Exodus. Now, some Jews at the time of Jesus had come to believe that in Genesis chapter 15, where Abraham does get this prophecy about the Exodus, that in fact, Abraham also is given extra information from God about other things in God's plan of salvation, including a vision of the coming messianic age and what the Messiah would be like. Now, that's not in the text of Genesis 15, but that is mentioned in some other books like 4th Ezra and the Book of Jubilees, which didn't actually make it into the final Old Testament. But some pious Jews did believe that Abraham received a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And apparently, if this is the right interpretation, Jesus is endorsing that. Jesus is saying, yes, Abraham did in fact receive a vision of the Messiah. Now, what Jesus has just said, let's recap it. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Now, apparently the Jewish leaders misunderstand him here, because what Jesus said, Jesus didn't say, I have seen Abraham. What he said, though, was Abraham had seen me. Abraham has seen me, the Messiah. But the Jewish leaders take that to mean that Jesus has seen Abraham, although that's not what he said. Because what they say next is, and you have seen Abraham. Now, some translations, although not many, they do clear it up by phrasing this as, has Abraham seen you? So there is some textual debate about what the exact question is they pose to Jesus here. So the lectionary translation we have says, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. So if that's the right translation, their response here could mean one of two things. So Jesus is about 30 years old at this point, and they know that. So one thing they could be thinking of here is that Abraham had died around 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not even 50, so he couldn't have been alive when Abraham was alive. That could be one interpretation. Or they could be thinking of death, because the Jews at the time believed that when a person dies, they go to be with Abraham. So maybe they're saying, well, Jesus isn't even 50 yet, he's nowhere near death, so he certainly hasn't seen Abraham with his own eyes yet. So one of those two is probably what they're thinking of. Jesus now speaks again, verse 58, I tell you most solemnly, so again, Jesus is about to say something fairly significant, and he's about to indicate just how much greater than Abraham he really is. So he now goes on to say something which gets a lot of discussion in Trinitarian theology, one of his most famous phrases. Before Abraham ever was, I am. Now, depending on how you understand those, because there's some translational issues here, what does I am mean? It could mean one of two things. Certainly it's in the present tense, so Jesus is claiming, at least in some sense, to have existed before the time of Abraham. But the phrase I am could mean one of two things. It could mean that Jesus is claiming to be eternally existent, so to just have the property of being eternally existent just like God is, and therefore he existed before Abraham, which is pretty significant in and of itself for a man to claim to be eternally existent with God. But I am can also be translated as the divine name of God in the Old Testament, and that's revealed in Exodus chapter 3 in the burning bush. God calls himself I am. So that phrase had come to be identified with the name of God himself. So it's possible that Jesus here is claiming to be I am, to be God himself. And in that case, that's a very significant claim. And still though, the same reasoning applies. If he's God, then he existed before Abraham existed. So whichever one of those two interpretations is correct, they're both considered to be blasphemy, because either way, he's making himself equal with God. So the Jews, at verse 59, they pick up stones to throw at him. So they're about to put him to death on the spot. They're going to stone him to death. In their mind, he's just committed blasphemy because he's claiming to be equal with God. And the appropriate punishment is actually stoning. So they're correctly applying the punishment from Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. So they are correctly, if they're right, that he's blaspheming, then he should be put to death by stoning, according to the law. Obviously, as Christians, we believe that he's not blaspheming because he's telling the truth. he really is I am. He really is God. But so they pick up the stones, but Jesus hid himself, and that implies some sort of supernatural hiding. He just disappears in some way, as he does a couple of times, and then he left the temple. So that's the end of this extended discussion in the temple between Jesus and the Jews in chapter 8. So another really interesting conversation here in John chapter 8. Where does this appear in the Catechism? So let's explore a couple of paragraphs where the Catholic Church teaches us what we can learn from John chapter 8. Paragraph 473 of the Catechism is part of the discussion about Christ's soul and his human knowledge. So that says, "But at the same time, this truly human knowledge of God's Son expressed the divine life of his person. The human nature of God's Son, not by itself, but by its union to the Word, knew and showed forth in itself everything that pertains to God. Such is first of all the case with the intimate and immediate knowledge that the Son of God, made man, has of his Father." So that's quite complex language there, and it's reflecting things that Jesus says in John chapter 8 here about him knowing the Father and doing everything he hears his Father telling him. Paragraph 590 is in the discussion about Jesus and Israel. It says, "Only the divine identity of Jesus' person can justify so absolute a claim as he who is not with me is against me. And he's saying that there was in him someone greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, something greater even than the temple. His reminder that David had called Messiah his Lord, and his affirmations, before Abraham was, I am, and even I and the Father are one." So you hear that phrase, "before Abraham was, I am," listed among some other phrases from the Gospels, where Jesus is clearly claiming to be divine. Then lastly, in paragraph 574, it says, "From the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, certain Pharisees and partisans of Herod, together with priests and scribes, agreed together to destroy him. Because of certain acts of his expelling demons, forgiving sins, healing on the Sabbath day, his novel interpretation of the precepts of the law regarding purity, and his familiarity with tax collectors and public sinners, some ill-intentioned persons suspected Jesus of demonic possession. He is accused of blasphemy and false prophecy, religious crimes which the law punished with death by stoning." So the information there about Jesus being accused of being possessed and being attempted to be stoned because of blasphemy, that all comes out of John chapter 8. So these middle chapters of John, the Gospel of John, are basically all about Jesus' identity. He's constantly trying to stress who he is to the Jewish leaders. He wants them to understand, and he gives them numerous opportunities, but they never listen. So that's why Jesus is using quite extended discussions here. He's really trying to get his point across. He uses lots of different analogies and descriptions of himself, but they just don't get it. So that's the end of today's episode. Remember, if you are interested in getting a verse-by-verse commentary on the entire Gospel of John, chronologically, and also the other Gospels, you can get access to that through the Soundwise page for the ministry, and there's some information about that in the show notes. If you want to go deeper verse-by-verse into the Gospels, then check out that link. Thanks for your support of the ministry. We'll see you next time.